Talking Games Podcast.
Welcome back. This is episode 112 of the Talking Games Podcast. Me, host, the Major. Apologies, it's been a couple of weeks since we've done one of these. Everyone's taking their obligatory summer holidays all at the same time. So that's added me. Thanks very much, guys. We do have Bam in here. How you doing, bud?
No, man. You know, another beautiful day. Ready to talk about these games.
Well, it's raining outside, and it's rather windy, so I don't know about beautiful day.
There ain't nothing better. There's nothing more comfortable or more zen than sitting inside your house on a nice, warm, rainy day with a cup of coffee underneath a blanket with a controller inside your left hand, cup of Joe in the right hand. Hey, man, that sounds like a good day to me.
I have not stopped drinking caramel lattes. I love them.
It's the best.
Oh, it is the best. Thank you everyone for joining us. Don't forget to check out the website, gamesinquirer.com. You can find us all on socials, /gamesinquirer, everywhere. Apart from, we now have our YouTube channel back. I need to start putting content for it, though, up. So if there's anybody out there that would like to join the YouTube channel, please do let me know. It's hello@gamesinquirer.com. Developers, you can send us your press releases or info review copies to gamesinquirer@gmail.com. I have been speaking to a couple of developers this week who have sent me a couple of games, and I will thank Telltale, who sent me the first episode for The Expanse, the new one.
Mm,
their
you
first game
that,
back.
Man?
Yeah, about 8 years since they last made the game. Something like that.
I think either one of them Tales from the Borderlands or maybe The Wolf Among Us was one of their last games. As a matter of fact, I think one of their last games might have been the Minecraft Telltale game.
That was it. Yeah, it's been a while, though, and I will say they have dramatically improved.
So, like, I don't know how far you got into the first episode, but I actually completed that episode. But I don't know if, again, I don't know how much of it you played, but even if you look at it, like, so they changed up that engine that they had. Because when you play the game now, like, Telltale used to be synonymous with, like, all those. Every time you played like any game, whether it was the Wolf Among Us, The Walking Dead, Game of Thrones, Tales of the Borderlands, sometimes during those cutscenes or during some sections of the game, it had like hitches and hiccups like as you played. But with this new engine and with The Expanse, I haven't seen any of that.
Yeah, I have completed the first episode. I do have the it did download the second episode, but it won't let me play it for some reason. So I have to buy it. I don't know why.
Yeah, it's not out yet. You gotta wait like 2 weeks.
Yeah,
ten weeks.
But I love it. I absolutely love The Expanse. It's been a while because it doesn't look like a Telltale game because it's usually their games are kind of like cel-shaded or hand-drawn art. And this one, it just looks like a regular 3D game. And I love the story. I'm a massive fan of The Expanse. If you guys have never seen that show, go find some episodes. It's a really, really good show. But the game is, as far as their comeback, is really, really, really good. It's far better than I was expecting it to be. I thought we were going to be playing, you know, a similar like art style gameplay to stuff we've had before. It is still very similar. It's still time button pressing QTEs, but it's a very, very good game, and there is a lot to find. And I did not find everything on my first episode playthrough, so I will have an episode dropping that recording on my YouTube channel, hopefully today. It should be up now, if the editor has gotten back to me yet. But the other game I've been playing is Atlas Fallen. And this game, I swear to God, puts Ubisoft to shame on their open worlds. But everything, like you have like sand surfing, you have your magic abilities and stuff, but it's just a really, really fun like title. You can play co-op.
Atlas Fallen, what is that?
It's on all consoles, I'm pretty sure. It doesn't come out until the 9th, I think, of August. So you've got about another week yet before it releases. I'm in the middle of doing my review for it, but I absolutely love Atlas Fallen. It's a solid 8, 9 out of 10, if I'm being honest. And I'm enjoying the story. I was playing it for about 3 hours last night, non-stop, until about 4 o'clock in the morning. I wish I'd stopped. I was knackered by the end of it, but it is a really, really good, solid RPG open world. Graphics beautiful, voice acting's perfect. The only issue that I've got with Atlas Fallen is the camera, because it's constantly moving. and it's really irritating. You have to constantly snap back to your shoulder. But even then, when you snap back, it'll move again. And I'm trying, you have to constantly readjust, try and find where you're going or to see where the enemies are. It's a bit of a jar, but I do like the game overall. It's just because they need to fix that camera.
Mm.
Other than that, it's brilliant. What have you been playing anyway?
I've been playing, so Double Dragon, Rise of the Dragon came out this weekend. I've been on that. Well, not this weekend, but it came out Wednesday or Thursday. It's like you know, the people that made Double Dragon back in the day, I think that they came back. I think it's just like when like the Ninja Turtle game came out, when they came out and they gave this new Ninja Turtle game, but it kind of feels like the old game. It's the same type of vibe, but that game is pretty fun. I've been playing that with my son because it doesn't have online co-op yet, so I've just been running through that with my son. The Expanse, I played the first episode of that. That, again, we already spoke about that. That game is amazing. And I've been really playing, I got a lot of games in my room. Oh, yeah, and the Pikmin 4. I've also been playing Pikmin 4 whenever I get a chance to play that, whenever my wife isn't hogging up the Switch and playing that all day and all night. Pikmin 4 is pretty good, man. I don't know if you got it yet, but that game is pretty good. And then
Get first party from Nintendo. I've been meaning to try and get back in touch and try and grab a copy of that.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that will turn up eventually. I'm going to be playing that eventually when I get past all the other games I've currently got in my library. Speaking of Double Dragon, Callum is reviewing that, so that review should be up next week. There is so much about, like, Double Dragon. I remember the cartoons, the anime cartoons. In the mid to late 90s. And those cartoons really were the only reason that I watched Cartoon Network for the longest time. It was just to watch Double Dragon. I'm so
thankful. Even like playing that game, my son was like, are we killing these people or are we just knocking them out? And I'm like, man, I got to show you some of them old school action, Jean-Claude Van Damme. That's legit. That's like the vibe I get whenever like you play those games. It always feels like you like a cop and you're just going out there, you're just beating up on bad guys and stuff. It really just gives me, the 80s, 90s action film vibes. But other than that, man, I've just been playing, I've been linking up with some people on Twitter, and we've been playing a bunch of Halo, Gears of War, some Call of Duty.
I've been seeing the chat. We've been talking
all kinds of trash, man,
I do listen to
those faces, man. They're hilarious. Look, them faces, you're going to get... It's like getting banned after dark, Podcast is more PG. The Twitter Spaces, I'm off the chain.
Yeah, go follow Bam on Twitter if you haven't already. And just go listen to he's nuts. It's hilarious. What was the one with your choice?
You were doing that.
If you're single, you ain't got loads of women.
You're embarrassing. That guy, I felt embarrassed for him. I think this is cringe. Let me give you some backstory on like on that dude, right? I'm not gonna say no names. I'm not trying to get no drama in that story because even like when he was in the space, I wasn't trying to pick on him or nothing. It's just ever since he first joined that quote unquote gaming community, because to me, they're like, it's really nothing but like a cesspool of trolls, and you gotta like really like look in between the cracks to try to find actual good people in there. But this dude, he's been in there and like. It's like, when you were in high school and, you want to sound like you cool and you just be out here just telling this outlandish stories and, just because you want to fit in. I'm like, bro, you 30 years old. You got to stop doing this, man, because he's not. He already came out and told everybody, hey, man, look, I just be over-exaggerating and I just be like sarcastic. And then he'll come back a week later and be like, hey. Everything I told y'all was a lie. This is really what I'm out here like. You help me, and I'm like, bro, you out here looking like Shrek, but you want to pretend that you are there. Okay, all right. But it ain't, what I'm saying? Like it ain't nothing. It ain't no, not nothing too nefarious or like no like bad blood going on. I was just joking with him.
Yeah, but that was funny though. That conversation lasted about 15 minutes of you just calling him a liar. How many ways can you say it? That was brilliant. Oh, God. Anyway.
When I looked down and saw you in the chat, man, I was like, oh, man, mate, this is in the chat. This is,
Mate, if you put me on a speaker, I would have just been laughing my ass off. That's all you would have got out of me. Just giggling. But anyway, we've got to move on with the news stories this week. Sad news, John Gibson, one of the pioneers of UK game development, has passed away after 40 years in the business. He used to work for Sony, originally started at Psygnosis, the first publisher that Sony ever bought. And when Sony bought, he went on to work for Sony for nearly three decades. Best known in modern times for the motorsport games and Drive Club. Those are his games. He started his career in 1983 at Imagine Software, ended at Sony, where he remained until he died. He was working until he was an old man. That's just insane. I'll teach himself how to write machine code on a ZX81 computer. Dear God. Imagine his 30s was effectively known as Granddad by the rest of the team. He defined several critically acclaimed games, including Stonkers, Molar Mall, and The Zoom. He was a programmer on the Bandersnatch games, the ambitious mega game that was ultimately never released. There was also, at the time, he founded Denton Designs, released Gift from the Gods, which was a Bandersnatch clone. He was also programming the Frankie Goes to Hollywood game and Cosmic War Toad for Denton. He then joined Psygnosis in 1990, just before Sony then acquired them. He went on to work for Sony Computers until he passed away. He was a programmer on WRC4, the World Rally Championship games on the PS2. He also was instrumental behind the launch of MotorStorm on the PS3, Pacific Rift, Apocalypse and RC, all the expansions. He was one of the programmers on Evolution's final game, Drive Club. Several veteran journalists have called him one of the British programming pioneer, and credit his amazing contribution to gaming. Software consultant Andy Toon said, "Very sad to hear John Gibson has passed away. He's one of the few people I worked with after leaving college, joining Prognosis to write Microcosm. He's a lovely, patient guy with a great sense of humour. He will be sorely missed. He's one of the pioneers of British gaming. For many years, he kind of excelled at racing games, and that was his big core strength. We wouldn't have a lot of racing games now if it wasn't for John Gibson. There is that does lead to one question, though. Who would be on your game developers? What's the word? The Mount Rushmore. That was the one. Well, who would be on your game developers, Mount Rushmore?
Oh, mine?
Yeah.
I've got to go. So that's my favorite game of all time. Well, my favorite franchise is Gears of War. Gotta go Cliff Bleszinski. He on there. Yeah. Gotta put Neil Druckmann. I don't even know if I could put Neil Druckmann or the lady. Who's the lady who they kicked out of Naughty Dog, the one that was doing all their stories?
Oh,
I don't know her name at this moment. I don't think it was Jade Raymond, was it?
Yeah. She went on to form her own studio last year.
Okay, yeah. So, I mean, she hasn't done nothing lately, but... Untitled.
Well, she's working on her own title. She's got her own studio now.
Yeah. I mean, but I don't know, man. If I should do her in there, I guess I'll go Jade Raymond or just whoever's been putting that. I don't know. Jade Raymond, I guess. Okay, yeah. So Jade Raymond, Cliff Bleszinski. I don't even know the developer that made, because now I'm about to go deep into the bag. I'm about to go deep into the memory banks. Whoever made Rampage World Tour 1 and 2, I know that game used to be published by, like, Midway or whoever used to make those games back in the day. But Rampage World Tour 1 and 2 were some of my favorite games. So whoever makes that, I don't know. I don't have a computer by me right now to Google it. But whoever made that game, got to put them on there. The guy that makes Mario... I can't even think of his name, and I don't want to try to pronounce his name and butcher his name. Do you know the guy's name, the Japanese dude, the Memorial?
I've got those in my tongue.
Is it Shigeru Miyamoto?
That's the one. Shigeru Miyamoto,
So I'm putting him on there, and then last but not least, number five, I would have to say... damn it, what's his name? Aonuma for Legend of Zelda.
Fair enough. I will say there's only four heads on Mount Rushmore.
Okay, well then let's take Jade Raymond off of there.
All right. Get rid of the only woman.
Hey, man, you got to do equal opportunity over here. I don't care if you're black, white, brown, whatever, woman, man, both of them. Hey, get her ass off my mountain.
Adios. But I will say my top one probably would be Casey Hudson. Phenomenal.
What game she made?
Right. He made the Mass Effect games. He used to be the head of BioWare many years ago. He wrote Mass Effect stories. I know you don't know him because you never played him, but
yeah.
He also was known for Star Wars Night.
I missed their change, man.
Very well.
Mm-hmm.
He's I don't know what he's up to now, but I personally believe that he was one of the best writers in the business, personally. I will add Cliff Blinsky. I think he's phenomenal. Todd Howard, just for his vision of what he wants games to be, and they often are like absolute bangers. They're buggy, but I wouldn't really credit that to him.
Oh, you said Todd Howard.
What's that?
Who you say? Todd Howard?
Todd Howard, yeah.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And I would have added Yuji Naka, but yeah, he ruined it with Balan Wonderworld, and then he did what he did. So can I really put him on the Mount Rushmore? Obviously, he created Sonic. Nah, I'd probably replace him with also Shigeru Miyamoto. Those would be my top four. I know there's some people going to be saying Hideo Kojima.
No,
I'm not a fan of.
I feel like people overhype Hideo Kojima because it's like everybody wants to credit him for being the sole person for making Metal Gear, but we all know that when people make these games, it's more than one person. And then you've seen what happened when he went and made his own studio. Anytime he gets off the leash, hey, man, them games go a little bit too crazy because I'm not a big fan of Death Stranding at all.
No, I played that first probably hour or so online on PC, and I fell over about 20 times. I don't like the running mechanic. Like, you can trip over the slice. Why? Why is my guy unable to walk? Like, it's just stupid.
Because
you're
the
Why
UPS
are you tripping
guy,
over
man.
Stones?
It's because you're the UPS guy. So, like, anytime you got too many packages, because I think I put in at least 10 hours of the game. I tried to get that game in first shape. I really did. But whenever you play that game, you have to balance the weight. So if you don't balance the weight, then when you run, then you just trip and fall over everything.
Mate, it felt to me like drunk ass simulator. Like I drank 30 beers and I was trying to walk home the whole time. It's just it's the longest journey of me standing up and falling down I've ever done. And I got bored. Like I hadn't even reached the first checkpoint and I'd fallen over probably about 40 times.
Yeah.
But why are you making walking simulators that just make me fall over constantly? I've never known a single person in the history of my life ever to ever constantly fall over at the slightest obstacle. Like, oh, a tiny little clip. Oh, no, he goes flying down the mountain. Like, it's stupid. I don't like that game at all. Sorry, I'm going to kind of rant about Death Stranding. I know there's people going to be calling me a fake gamer for that. Although I did get called this week, a Sony Pony and an Xbox in the same thread. I'm going to be wearing that mark like a badge of honor from now on.
Anytime you speak logically on it, I can't even say Twitter, on X, amen.
don't do X.
Anytime you speak logically like on that app, man, and the people, they want to label you so bad just because you speak in facts or just because you speak in normal. It's either you crazy one plastic box or one company. Or else you know what I'm saying? Or else you some kind of quote unquote what they call people. They call you fake neutrals, they call you a donkey, they call you an Xbox. It's crazy.
Mate, there's a particular two people on Twitter that I follow just for the memes. And those two people are the dumbest, stupidest two people on Twitter as far as Sony Ponies go. Yeah. And that's why they call me an Xbox. I don't care, I'm not, but they are blatantly like the most dumbest people, and I will name one of them because he fucking pissed me off this week. His name's X-Vault Gaming. Dumbass.
Cool.
Stupid. X-Vault Gaming. He's a big Sony pony. All he talks about is Xbox. And usually it's the stupidest things. Like, he tried to claim, right, there's a video circling from an Xbox YouTube channel, where they're talking about receiving emails from Microsoft, let them give them heads up on news that's coming out. He thought that was the big, like, they were getting paid. He thought Microsoft was calling them as an employee to try and spin and promote their next big venture. No! Journalists, YouTube content creators get contact from publishing direct developers all the time. If they didn't, I wouldn't have a job. If I didn't know anything was going on, if nobody called me or told me anything, I'd be in the dark. Therefore, I would not be a journalist. I wouldn't be able to report on things. Same reason these guys. They're not getting paid. I would love, if there was anybody at EA, because the amount of press releases and stuff I've done for you guys, send me some money, please. Pay me. Because apparently these people out here getting paid for posting videos.
Right.
Yeah. There is stupid people on Twitter.
No, you say stupid people. Oh, nothing. I just say, oh, yeah. All over the app, man, that's all you're going to find. That's why, like, even like when I first joined the podcast and then I was telling you about how crazy these people were, because you wasn't really talking to any of those people before, but you...
Well, like, no, it's starting to come up in my throat because I've been talking about the Activision Blizzard Microsoft deal.
Yep, these people
find...
They found you. It's over now. It's over.
Oh, no, I'm on their ass 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, forever. Because I just find their accounts so entertaining. It's ridiculous. They comment on my posts, so therefore I now comment on their posts. They won't respond to me anymore. Because they just, the stupidest stuff they come out with, like one guy was trying to claim that Game Pass was failing. It's like, no, it isn't. No, it's not failing. But they've just done 5% increase annual revenue. It's the second best year
They probably try to hit you with the, oh, well, you know, it's a subscription. And if you look at Netflix isn't making any money and hasn't been making no money. You know, they all use the same little fanboy narratives. And it's like, at the end of the day, I don't care if it's failing or not. All I know is that Game Pass is good for my pockets.
Yeah. Apparently it's detrimental. I'm still arguing with people about it. It's detrimental to the business. They're creating a monopoly. But then they don't talk about Tencent or Embracer or the Saudi PIF fund, public investment fund, that's buying out literally shares of every company. They don't talk about that. No, it's all just Microsoft monopolizing the industry. Get over.
Yeah.
I'm not an Xbox fan. I'm not a Sony fan. I play everything. But if there's any Xbox fans that come out and say something stupid, I'm going to quit you. And if you don't like it, that's tough. Anyway, we will touch on this because I think this was a massive mistake. House of Cards was one of my favourite shows of the last 5 years. Gorged that show up until the beginning of episode 6 and then it just went shit. But
what show?
Yeah, House of Cards.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Spacey. The actor who played that role, he was found not guilty on 9 counts of sexual assault and rape of underage boys. He was found that after a nearly 4-week trial at London's Covent Crown Court, Spacey was cleared of all charges, including 2 charges of causing a person to engage in sexual activity without consent. I did touch on this on Twitter, the reason I believe that this was a mistake, because I've read the allegations against him, and I think there's about 4 victims. The first one was 13 years old at the time, and his account is extremely vivid, detailed, and doesn't really have any flaws to it at all. Like, if reading that, you would think that actually happened, and I believe it did. So Spacey has been accused on several times of drugging and providing alcohol to minors to then sexually assault them at parties. Prosecutors allege that the 4 complainants, who can't be named, were left feeling small, diminished and worthless by incidents that took place between 2001 and 2013. Spacey's legal team argued the complainants made allegations for reasons that ultimately will never be known, but that Spacey, who is most famous for his roles in like American Beauty, was tried by social media and found guilty. Now, it wasn't by social media, it was the fact that people read the allegations. They saw the allegations. The evidence and the stuff that they were coming out with during the first 2 months of it happening, a lot of people believed he was guilty. And it wasn't social media, it was his co-stars as well, and the shows of directors who'd worked with him for years. And it was pretty much everybody who had any contact with him believed the allegations. That speaks volumes to me, that people who know him personally believed it. And I only read the allegations and the witness statements that were published online. Even then, I say, there's some truth to that. Because the way that they detailed the events leading up to the assault, all the way, point by point, in detail, screams to me that this isn't something they've just made up. Because that would be very difficult to make something up that detailed.
The only thing I don't like about these court hearings or this stuff that happens, like you've seen it with Bill Cosby, it happened with Kevin Spacey. The only thing I don't like about this is I know myself and I know I'm an asshole. So if enough people who don't like me come together and decide, you know what, we're gonna mess this dude's life up. All you need is quote unquote witness allegations, accounts from people. And anybody can take you to court with no evidence, no videos, and they can have a case against you, and you could possibly go to jail. That's the only thing that I don't like about these cases. I wouldn't say
Bill Cosby, though, because Bill Cosby is ultimately guilty.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying whether or not if he's guilty or not, or whether or not if Kevin Spacey is guilty. I'm just saying that, like, there's a lot of things going on right now, and if people can do this, Imagine if people just want to take somebody down. Again, you don't need physical evidence or videos or anything. All you need is a lot of people to come together and come up with these accounts and these witness stories, and then they can take you to court. That's the only thing that I don't like about it.
Well, I Bill Cosby is 100% guilty, though.
I'm not saying if he's guilty or not. Listen, I don't know Bill Cosby. I wasn't in the room. I don't know. I'm not saying to be guilty, innocent or not, but all I'm saying is I don't know what, like, that could happen to anybody in today's day and age, especially if you get enough people around you who do not like you. Like I said, I know I'm an asshole. I'm not out here trying to be everybody's buddy. But if enough people got together and be like, you know what, we're going to take Bam out, and this is how we're going to do it. All right, let's get together. Say he did this back in 2015, nobody would ever know if it was true or not. Nobody would know. You would just go off the accounts of, well, you know what, that dude, you know what, I can see him doing something like that. Like, he really is a dickhead, or he really is an asshole. I can see that happening. And then that's all you need. Because at the end of the day, all you got to do is convince the jury. That's all you got to do. Convince them enough that this dude is capable of doing this, and then your ass, you getting locked up.
Are you trying to say that Bill Cosby's innocent?
I preface everything I said by saying I'm not saying he's innocent or he's guilty. Kevin Spacey or Bill Cosby. I'm not on anybody's side. I don't care if he get locked up or not. I'm saying in this day and age, anybody can be locked up off hearsay or off quote-unquote witness allegations, whether they be true or not, with no physical evidence, no video evidence, nothing.
That has happened before. I will agree with you there, but I'm not – yeah. Some people, I know some people are going to be listening to that and thinking, is he saying Bill Cosby's innocent? No.
I don't know. Let me say this slow motion again. I'm not saying Bill Cosby is innocent or if he is guilty. I do not care if Bill Cosby is innocent or if he is guilty. That's the reason why I've said it like 5 times already. I'm not saying he's innocent or not. I'm just saying this stuff can happen because it's already happened before with the lack of technology. You've seen multiple stories come out of people coming out of prison after 20, 30 years and then kind of find out later on when they got better technology, they check fingerprints, they go back to the same witnesses. The witnesses come out and say, you know what, I'm sorry, I lied. I feel bad about it. I lied on that name. You've seen this shit happen 1,000 times, and these people end up getting $1 million for having their whole life gone. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. We're going to touch on some gaming news this week. Mortals Phoenix Rising 2 has reportedly been cancelled. Apparently, Ubisoft is looking to establish more established franchises. Ubisoft did issue a statement this week. They say, as part of a global strategy, we are redirecting, reallocating creative teams and resources within the Quebec studio to other projects. the expertise and technologies these teams develop will serve as an accelerator for the development of these key projects focused on our biggest brands. I don't know why they can. I mean, Immortals Fenyx Rising is actually pretty good. It's actually a very strong, decent online player, online game. I really enjoyed Immortals Fenyx Rising. It didn't get the love and attention it deserved. There was a lot of craziness in that game. If you ever played it, there's a you're basically facing like Cyclops, and you've got Greek, I think it's like Greek monsters, like mythological monsters and stuff in there, and Roman mythological monsters, and it's a weird game. I would have liked them to keep going with it, because I actually really enjoyed it, but they just didn't give it the attention it needed for the first one. And then they can a sequel, which doesn't make sense to me. Personally, I would like to see them do more.
I think they might can that sequel because the game that they copied and cloned off of, the sequel came out for it. I don't think anybody's taking for any more of things rather than two when you already got Tears of the Kingdom out.
That is true. Is that really a copy of
Phoenix? Legit, if you play Immortals Fenyx Rising, everything down to everything in that game just screams Zelda clone. Like, that's the thing about Ubisoft games. Ubisoft games, they always, I don't know, I feel like nowadays, I feel like they just take things that are great in other games and then they try to plug it into their own titles and they just switch it up a little bit. There's nothing wrong with that because Assassin's Creed, I feel like Assassin's Creed birthed a whole bunch of these games that come out now, like the whole Gotham Knights series, the whole Gotham games, the whole Shadow of Mordor games. You know, all those games bit off of what Assassin's Creed was doing with its combat back in the 360 generation. So copying somebody and making something better, that's not really a bad thing. It's just Immortals Fenyx Rising for me because I own the game. I bought it before it went to Game Pass. I wish I wouldn't have wasted my money on it. But I was trying to play that while I waited for Tears of the Kingdom, and I just couldn't get into it.
And I enjoyed it, mate, to be honest. I thought it was pretty decent.
I might try to go back to it one of these days. I don't know. But
hopefully,
I
switch the server off.
Do you think that they'll ever go back and be like, you know what, how about maybe let's not cancel the second game? Because I don't understand why they would cancel that game when the first one is just like what you said. Some people like it. But they still funded that stupid pirate shit game that's been coming out since like 2013. Like, why are they still working on that game instead of canceling that game? Like, that, I feel like that game should have got canceled.
I'm not playing Skull and Bones. I won't be buying that. For different reasons, because it's Black Flag. I've already played Black, and I don't need to play it again. Ubisoft for me has always been one of those studios which seems to fund or push the boundaries of what's possible in gaming. For like 20 years or so, they did that. And they're one of those companies, one of those publishers, one of those studios, in effect, that were able to create and innovate new mechanics, new features, new ways of doing things.
Right.
In the last 15 years, since they've started releasing Assassin's Creed after Assassin's Creed after Assassin's Creed, occasionally throwing in some random title like Mario and Rabbids or something of that nature, they always go back to Assassin's Creed, Assassin's Creed, Assassin's Creed. It's whenever they get a good franchise, whenever they come out with a game that's really interesting and has the possibility of being, you know, like a big game, but they just do not take the time and they're not careful with it, like Immortal Fenyx Rising. They can sequels. They stop supporting it. They don't update it. There is nothing new, like people will immediately turn off because it's dead. It's, if developers are giving up, why should we care?
Right.
And I guarantee the next game will be Assassin's Creed, which it is. And then it'll be another Assassin's Creed after that. And it's just Assassin's Creed after Assassin's Creed after Assassin's Creed. They should just rename their studio Assassin's Creed or Creedsoft. Because that's all they produce lately. And when it's not Assassin's Creed, it's a third-party game. Like Mario and Rabbids. They're working on another one with a third-party company. I can't remember off the top of my head. I think it's with the Star Wars Outlaws. But that's with Lucasfilm Games. That's a third-party game.
Yeah.
But it's the only games they produce themselves nowadays are Assassin's Creed. And I'm really fed up and bored of them, to be honest. I'm not going to be playing. I'll probably have to review Mirage, but I might try and give it to one
that
of the
Mirage
others.
Mirage is looking good, man. Like, that's the thing about Assassin's Creed. I feel like Assassin's Creed peaked after the Ezio story, so after Revelations, I feel like that's when they, I feel like that's when the franchise peaked. But this looks like they're going back. Look like they're going back to their roots, man. But do you think with Star Wars Outlaws coming out, there's another game that they're working on. Do you think Star Wars Outlaws and maybe a new Watch Dogs game? Because Watch Dogs Legion was a decent game. They just messed up with that whole character where you had so many characters to use. Do you think that maybe if those games come out and if those games are well-received, because I think the reason why they keep falling back on Assassin's Creed is because that's, like, their most successful game, aside from, like, Rainbow Six Siege.
I mean, yeah, but Rainbow Six isn't really a big single-player release game. It's always multiplayer, and it's like their answer to Call of Duty, basically.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like revenue. I'm not saying single-player. I'm just saying it's successful because it brings... people are still supporting that game with, microtransactions and stuff like that. So, and Assassin's Creed usually sells well. And I'm pretty sure that Star Wars is going to sell well just because of the name alone.
Yeah.
Like, if they can get some more titles out there that can sell well, because remember, the reason why they were so upset about Mario Rabbit, Sparks of Hope, or the new one, whatever it was called, I forget the name.
Yeah, Sparks of Hope,
It was because... they felt like they shouldn't have launched it on the Switch because it didn't perform as well as the first game. And they were saying that they should have waited for the next Switch to come out. And I think that's the reason why they keep falling back on Assassin's Creed, is because, again, out of all their titles, I think that's their most successful title.
Yeah, I mean, Ubisoft, their Sparks of Hope, that Mario & Rabbids game, is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. It is an absolute masterpiece turn-based tactics game. There is almost no flaws with it whatsoever.
It's a great game, man.
It's flipping brilliant. And I know there's people out there that, because we've got a Nintendo Switch group. If you're on Facebook and want to join a Switch group, it's a Nintendo Switch online fun, Frank owns an online fun. I didn't name it, Cannon did. Don't shoot me on that. But nobody played it on there. It's like, how have you not played this game? It is phenomenal.
Wait. That's the name of the group?
Nintendo Switch Friend Codes. An online fun. I didn't.
Why don't he cut the name, bro? That's a horrible name. That name is.
I know. I've been saying that for years.
Jesus.
Yeah, there's 26,000 members on that group. If you guys want to go, if you've got a Nintendo Switch, you're looking for new friends, you want to.
26,000 people.
Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah, I think it's almost like 27 now. But it's a decent group. The game's been going. It's been going since the Nintendo Switch launch. It's one of the larger Facebook groups of Nintendo Switch users. If you want to find some friends, you want to share your funny videos, whatever. Bear in mind, we do not allow new stories other than Games Inquirer posts on there. We're not competing on our own group. And if you post spam, you will get perma banned. There is no coming back. You'll be told once, and that will be it. Yeah, we're pretty strict because we do get a lot of people trying to take the account down because it is one of the larger Facebook groups. But hardly anybody on that group has played Mario and Rabbids. It's Animal Crossing and Pokemon is the main ones. But How have you not played Mario and Rabbids Sparks of Hope? It's phenomenal. They've just bought out a Rain Man DLC coming pretty soon, but they have got another DLC out right now. And it is such a good turn-based game. Like, it really requires strategy. And if you have it on even the most basic difficulty, and you're not thinking about your next move, it's like playing chess, essentially. Uh-huh. But it's like Mario Kart. I love Sparks of Hope.
Yeah,
but they need to do less Assassin's Creed. I wouldn't say do more third-party games, because even though when they do third-party games, they are often phenomenal. But I would just like to see them take a break from Assassin's Creed for a little while. Stop making the next one and the next one. Like, they've got four Assassin's Creed on the go at the moment. Two of them are mobile. One of them's Mirage, and the other one's that Infinity Hub thing, whatever they're working on.
And then they got the other one coming. Then they got the other one coming. The Assassin's Creed Red is supposed to be coming next year. Where they're saying that they're going to go through the story of the Black Samurai Yusuke. It's supposed to be some... I'm looking forward to that one, just because that's supposed to be like...
That's why I said... rural Japan, isn't it?
Yeah, that's why I said, like, I'm liking the direction that they go on, because even if you look at, like, the earlier games, like, they would always touch on some things that happened, quote-unquote, in history. Like, the first couple games used to talk about the artifacts of Eden and say, well, this is how Jesus made water into wine, or this is how Moses spread the Red Sea because he had the apple of Eden, and it's like it was all illusions, or it was all, you know, done through the artifact. Like I used to love Ubisoft because they would touch on history or things that may have happened in history, and then they would put a video game spin on it according to the Assassin's Creed universe. And these games, Mirage and Red, with them going through Yusuke, which is supposedly in history was the first black samurai in Japan. I'm looking forward to seeing how they, you know, just how they spend these historical moments and make them, you know, just add them into that universe.
Mate, I could imagine you as a samurai as well. You take on Shinobi, man. Shinobi's actually got a katana and he wants to be a ninja. So, you know, you two against each other would be amazing. Samurai versus Shinobi. I'd love
Shinobi gonna murder me every time, and Shinobi's on another level.
Yeah, he's definitely on another level. we got some new stories. We jump to deals of the week. CD Projekt Red has planned to lay off 100 staff, which is about 9% of its team. Said they are overstaffed for what they can currently afford to keep going. They're currently assessing all things in the company in terms of their expected contribution. It's no easy to say this, but today we are overstaffed. We have talented people on board. The outcome of the studio parting ways of around 100 people. There'll be immediate, some employees will go as late as quarter one 2024, which starts in January. But at the start of transparency, we're chosen to share the information now. We want team players to have ample time to process and adjust to the change. They have announced they laid off 29 employees back in May after the Witcher spin-off game Project Sirius. These layoffs mostly impacted developers at the Molasses Flood, which is based in their American studio based for, I can't remember whereabouts in America they are, but they made Flame in the Flood, which CD Projekt acquired in 2021. The company also plans to wind down support for Gwent, which sucks. That means the 30 Gwent team members are also being laid off. It's not been made clear if the roughly 100 employees set to go include these. However, they are working on a number of other projects, including the new Witcher franchise game, a new Cyberpunk game, and Hadar, which is an entirely new IP. I still want to find out what Hadar is. They're very cagey about what they're working on. I will be leaving that story there, Bam, until after. Moving last bit of news, though, Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart. Apparently, the PC is basically unplayable without an SSD. They did try and load it on a PS4, and it was non-responsive. I will say I don't understand this whole argument with SSD and HDD and if it works or if they're lying or whatever. But our first look, apparently, is according to a Twitter user, John Lindman, said it has a few issues, but it's overall in good shape. Infinitely better than Last of Us Part 1 and Jedi Survivor launched. The funniest bit is when Rich tried running the game off an actual PS4 hard drive in just above a minute spec. Developer and publisher of Sony drew criticism after the PC specs were announced. The game's confirmed Rift Apart does not require an SSD to run, despite this being an essential part of the original PS5 version's marketing, and what they said in 2011 as well. Online community specialist supporting you in Nixon's studio, Julian, said to run Rift Apart on very low settings, which is basically 720p 30fps, users will require an i3 processor, or an AMD Ryzen 3, an Radeon RX 4070 GPU and 8 gigabytes of RAM. It also has a GeForce RTX 960, which is like basically a brick. Rift Apart also can run 75 gigs of HDD space on these settings, but the recommended specs are all higher at 75 gigabytes of SSD space, which is something the PS4 cannot handle. In its initial announcement, Sony Rift Apart was designed around PS5's ultra-high-speed SSD, and that players will seemingly travel through different dimensions in mid-game, which does require an automatic load, which is why you need the high-end SSD. It did confirm it can be enjoyed using a HDD and the minimum system requirements in combination with the recommended system requirements for higher to experience the game, seeing which, as I mentioned, blah, 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 it's all marketing speak. People did try and run it on the PS4 and it can crash. And it was very, very laggy. The argument also is the difference between the Xbox and the PS5's version. PS5 is only initially faster in the beginning of the game loading. The rest of the time they are fairly the same. They're pretty much exactly the same, actually. There isn't really any difference between the two. But don't try and run that game or last year. It just won't work. Anyway, it's time for Deals of the Week. Roll the thing.
Da, 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 da. It deals of the week. If you don't find what you want, then...
Sorry, we can't help you out.
Yeah, sorry, we can't help you out.
But you can get No More Heroes 3 on Xbox Series X and Xbox One physical edition for £16.98 with £3.99 delivery from Cool Shop. Sonic Colors Ultimate with Baby Sonic Keychain right now is at Amazon. It's exclusive to PS4. You get that for £10.88. That's on Amazon Deals. Everybody wants to switch on the brand new games we've been looking forward to right now on Amazon Deals is £15.95. Dying Light Platinum Edition is on Steam at Shop 2 for £4.85. That deal has just gone live, so I've grabbed that quickly. Octopath Traveler 2 on PS5 right now. Sold by the Game Collection. That deal is expiring tomorrow, 31st of July. You can get that for £27.96. That is 7% off with free shipping using the code APPLY20. That is APPLY20, all in caps. Hogwarts Legacy Digital Edition right now on Steam is £27.99 via CD keys. The Xbox Series X 1TB console has been refurbished. The deal expires tomorrow via Music Magpie. You can get it for £35.599. That is nearly £50 off with free shipping. Use the code APPLY20. You can get an Xbox Series X 1TB refurbished by Music Magpie for £60 off. Use the code APPLY20. Deal's expiring tomorrow. You need a controller for that, though. You can also get a Xbox wireless controller for £39. That is down for about £3 off this week. The deal's expiring tomorrow. Use the code APPLY20. That is on eBay Deals via Music Magpie with free shipping included with the Xbox. You can get both of them at once. Control Ultimate Edition right now on CD keys, £8.49. That is on Xbox One and Xbox Series X and S for £8.49. That is via CD keys. PlayStation 5 disc console with Demon's Souls and Forspoken is £419.99. That is about £40 off. You get that with £4.99 shipping. That is via Game in the UK. You will need a VPN. Katamari Damacy re-roll right now on Steam is 78% off. It's down to £3.44. Down from £16, that deal has just gone live. Sonic Origins Plus on Nintendo Switch, use the code RWJULY10, that is RWJULY10, all in capitals, for £21.45 with free shipping. That's at Rareways Deals. PS5 DualSense controller, Starlight in Blue, is £40 this week with free shipping via Amazon. You can also find a regular DualSense Midnight Black for PS5 for £40 via Amazon Deals with free shipping. The Ascent on Steam this week is 75% off. It's down to £2.49 via CD keys. You can also get a PS5 console with free Forspoken. It is a game exclusive this week at game for £399.99 with £4.99 shipping. That's a game. Elden Ring on PS5, it comes with a voucher. It's £31.97 with free shipping at Amazon. Sonic Frontiers. You will need to use the code APPLY20 at the Game Collection outlet for £21.47 on PS5. That deal is expiring tomorrow, the 31st of July. You can also get the Oil Blue free PC game this week at Indiegala. That is completely free this week, as well as Pineapple on Pizza on Steam. That is Steam Deck verified as well. That game is completely free on Steam this week. Last up this week, Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic on Nintendo Switch is a digital edition for £5.64 via the Nintendo eShop. That deal is expiring at midnight, so grab that quickly. And that is all for your deals of the week.
Welcome back. Pokemon Presents. As you may remember, Bam, from several weeks ago, we touched on when the next Pokemon live stream will be. We were right again. August is the next one. It'll be coming out. There's also a mobile game code that suggests it will be coming in August. This is due to a data mine. According to CentroLeaks, line in the latest code update for mobile game Pokemon Masters EX, first an in-game campaign related to Pokemon Presents presentation. The campaign is due to start on August 8th. Every Pokemon Presents presentation is featured a tie-in event in-game. And if this is accurate, we'll be seeing a broadcast on the 8th of August. We did say it will be August, September. I cannot remember the episode number off the top of my head, but we definitely
What do you think that they're going to be showing off? Because they've already said that they're not dropping a new Pokemon game this year. So what? You think they're just going to be talking about Pokemon Scarlet and Violet DLC and maybe a remake of Pokemon Black and White or something.
Yeah, we know the next DLC is due out in the middle of, I think, October. So they're probably going to look to reveal there. The Masters EX mobile game, I'm not a fan of one little bit. They'll probably be showing that as well. They did just release, obviously, the Pokemon Sleep app, which has already been downloaded millions of times already. I have tried it. It didn't make me fall asleep. It's supposed to help you sleep, but it doesn't. It doesn't do anything. That's probably going to get another update. I'm thinking they'll probably be talking about that. And maybe, announce the next Pokemon movie or something of that nature. But maybe Detective Pikachu. I've been hearing Detective Pikachu 2 is in the works from Nintendo. Right. And something they'll be looking at doing. And also, I think that'll probably be it. I don't think it's going to be a massive Pokemon presents. I don't think it's going to be like an hour long like previous ones have been. I think this is just touching on like the minimal updates that come into Pokemon. The next big one will be the next Nintendo Direct, which I think is around November, and then that will be Nintendo for the year. They may come out with one in next January, but this Pokemon presents isn't going to be that big of a deal. But we did announce this previously, there was one coming, because I've been hearing they have plans to bring one out. And he was right, because the date miner has now confirmed it. I just didn't know the exact date at the time. Now we have it. An early purchase bonus, people who buy the new Hidden Treasure of Area Zero Part 1, the Teal Mask Part 1 and 2, the Indigo Disc, will be releasing in winter 2023, the end of this year. Both parts of the expansion will add the Pokemon not found in the Palladia update. This is obviously Scarlet and Violet. Players who early purchase bonus, players who buy the extension before October 31st will receive the Hisui Zoroark that isn't obtainable in the Palladia region. Big news though, and this has got people hyped across the Xbox community. Final Fantasy 14 is finally coming to Xbox Series X with a graphical update as well. Phil Spencer did appear last night on the Square Enix live stream. We said made a special appearance to talk about the Final Fantasy 14 update that's coming to Xbox consoles. The MMO will finally be drinking the jump next year, spring, around April. Now, your thoughts, Ben, because I know you're not a fan of Final Fantasy 14, are you?
No, I'm not. I don't care anybody can be excited for that, because it's like Xbox, the Xbox community have been asking for the biggest Final Fantasy game within that franchise, which is 7 Remake. Everybody's been asking for that. Nobody, I don't think any Xbox fans in the community that I'm a part of or people who I speak to, people who I game with, nobody asks for that. Like, nobody wants to play that 10-year-old, isn't that game like around 10 years old? That game is pretty old.
Yeah.
Nobody where's 7 Remake? Where's Rebirth? Where's 16? Because Rebirth is coming out next year. So why are you in Japan? Again, I see the efforts. I understand why you're doing it. But it's like, why are you not giving the fans 7 Remake? Why are you not lining up and giving the fans Rebirth, which is coming out next year? Where's 16 at? Like, these are the questions that I'm more concerned about versus the community finally getting to play a game that they could have played anyway if they would have bought a PlayStation. But it's like, because, again, that game is like 10 years old. So some people may have already played that before, maybe on the PS4 or whenever it came out, and maybe not on next gen, but now people got these next gen titles that cost $500 a pop. And if you don't have an extra job, or if you don't have, maybe you got a different situation going on, you can only afford one console, where's 16? Where's 7? Where's Rebirth?
Yeah, that is 100% true. And I will say, I think the reason they've done it is because they're trying to rebuild a relationship with Square Enix. And I don't think we're going to see Final Fantasy VII Remake on Xbox for at least another 5 years, because they still have that agreement with Sony. So Final Fantasy VII Remake still got another game to release. So that next chapter drops possibly in the next 2 or 3 years. Maybe after that we'll see an Xbox release. I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon before then.
You know how we always have that same stupid conversation about JRPG skipping Xbox because they don't sell on Xbox. Nobody's.
Yeah.
I can't see anybody being happy if I'm an Xbox only console player. Like, if I don't have the money to go out and buy a PlayStation, and if I grew up playing Final Fantasy and other JRPGs, And then if you come out 10 years later and you, hey, yo, we got this game for you. I don't care about that game. That game is 10 years old. I'm not about to go out there and then support that. And that's the reason, like, I think a lot of people probably share that same mindset because, again, if you don't have the money or the funds to have multiple consoles, and if you see them constantly skipping you and now they want to come back after all their sales and dried up, and now they're trying to get another little money grab, and these games coming out $60 on a console 5 years later, I'm not giving you $60 for that. I'm not doing that. And then they wonder why JRPGs don't sell on Xbox. If they come out within the next 5 years, and now they're trying to give me 7 Remake, which came out in, what, 2021? That game is a few years old. And then if they come out 5 years later, now that game is older. Rebirth is going to be older. And we're probably going to be on Final Fantasy 19 or 18 or whatever. And now you come and trying to give me this. I'm like, bro, I'm not about to be supporting that. And I think a lot of people, they're going to speak with their wallets and they're going to continue not supporting that.
Yeah. I think if you want to see more Final Fantasy games, though, I think this is really like a tester, like a feeler for Square Enix to see where Xbox's community is at. Because right now, they only signed the agreement with Sony because of this apparent claim that Microsoft or Xbox Final Fantasy doesn't sell well on Xbox. The idea is that we'll test it with this MMO because then you can play it online, it's free, and you don't have to buy it. If the community's there and the people that want to play Final Fantasy, people will jump on, they'll see the engagement and say, okay, maybe we'll release the next Final Fantasy.
That's not free though, Major. You got to pay a subscription monthly to play Final Fantasy 14 online.
Yeah, but you don't have to buy it. I mean, you don't have to
pay
60 quid off the front off the top of it. You know what I mean? But it's a subscription service. But I think maybe then what they'll do is they'll tie it into either Game Pass or something like that. But they're going to be looking at audience feedback, audience engagement, how many players are playing it. And then based on that, they may start to say, okay, if we sell the next Final Fantasy game, there's going to be an audience because there's people playing Final Fantasy 14. Maybe they want to play 16 or 17 or whatever. You've obviously got Final Fantasy, is it 16 that's just dropped? There might be an audience there. They might say, okay, well, this has done well over the course of 6 months. Let's bring Final Fantasy 16. I think their license agreement with Sony is about a year. They only have limited time exclusivity. They could bring it to Xbox if they wanted. They just don't. But I think there could be a reason why they're launching just 14. And there is fans out there that do want to play this because it's obviously only PC and PlayStation. It's to gauge what Xbox fans like. And that might be...
I think it's just super backwards, man, because Square Enix, like... Before 15 or before Final Fantasy 16 came out, Octopath Traveler 2 came out and it skipped Xbox when the first game was in Game Pass. So it's like I don't understand the mindset behind it or why you continue to drop games somewhere and then you put a game in the Game Pass and then the sequel comes out and then you skip the whole console and now you got Final Fantasy 16 coming out and you got other games that you make like Triangle Strategy or like Bravery Default that's only on Nintendo Switch. It's like if you're gonna It's like, I don't know. I don't know what they keep doing, but I feel like Square Enix, whoever's behind making these decisions, I feel like they're the wrong person for the job because, again, we all seen the reports come out that said that Square Enix was suffering because some of the big titles wasn't performing as well. And it's like, if you know that your big titles, like these big AAA games that you make, if they're not performing how you want them to perform because you only lock them down to one platform, why not open them up and put them everywhere so you could try to get a bigger return?
Yeah, well, they did that themselves, though. They decided they were going to release it on PlayStation because Sony offered them a bucket ton of money not to put it on Xbox, which is why we haven't had one since about 12.
It can't be too big of a bucket of money because if you're coming out and having interviews and you're complaining about the studios or you know, like, these games aren't performing to your, like, how you want them to perform, then, I mean, why would you keep making these deals and taking these quote-unquote buckets of money if the buckets of money aren't enough?
Yeah, I will say that Sony isn't as wealthy as some people think they are. And this actually came from a Sony pony who outed his own fan, his own, he outed Sony themselves as being broke. He sent me the link for their shareholder list. Now, I went down that shareholder list with him one by one. They're all asset management companies. So Sony Interactive has been selling shares. The only reason they do that, to sell shares to asset management companies, is to keep the company going. He then showed a link saying that how much money Sony had made so far this year. Unfortunately, it also included 2022's financial incomings and the net profit for Sony, for the entire company, not just PlayStation, the entire company, was just $2.3 billion. Microsoft last year made $200 billion. So Sony's in a bit of financial trouble, by the sounds of it, because if they've, even though they made like $100-something billion, most of that money has then gone to asset companies. And they're only left with $2.3 billion net profit. That's not good news for Sony. But I don't think the Square Enix deal will be going on for very much longer. I really doubt it.
Remember I told you, how much money a company has, or if they got money, if they don't got money.
But it does point to a larger problem. I understand that is obviously what companies are doing, but it does point to a larger issue. The reason why Square may now, as they've said, promising to bring games to Xbox whenever possible, following obviously Final Fantasy 14. And I think the reason is that even though, because if you look back at the Microsoft Activision court case, all the Sony finances were redacted. They were all blanked out. And I think the reason is because they don't want their regular customers to go look through their finances, which is publicly available, by the way, and see how well they're doing, because they're not doing very well at all. Sony as a company is really struggling. And this may give credence to the reason why Square Enix is now opening to working with Microsoft, because Microsoft has the money to pay them. Sony no longer does what they initially did anyway. Because I think, when was the last Xbox Final Fantasy game? Was it 12?
I think Final Fantasy 15 came out on Xbox.
Ah, yes. I forgot all about Final Fantasy 15. I didn't like that game either. It was way too short. Do you remember when you had to do the ending? You basically, it's like some randomly just like disappeared, and then you were attacked out of the cutscene, and then you ended up coming back in the middle of the night. And it was so short.
They messed that game up, like with the storytelling and stuff, because that game was stuck in development hell, and that's why when they came out with the DLCs, the DLCs plugged up a lot of plot holes about people. About some of your party members, whenever they left and you didn't really see them, and then Noctis has to leave, and then you come back and you're like 20 years older. There was a lot of plot holes within that game.
It was all over the place. Personally, I think it's all over the place. It was just so random. Like, I was right in the middle of battling, and then the next thing I know, I'm waking up on a beach. It's like, why? What the hell happened? I couldn't even do anything. Like, the guy's just disappeared. I was in the middle of the road. I was in the middle of driving. And then the screen goes black, and I wake up on a beach in the middle of the night. It's like, what the hell happened? What happened? What's going on? And then it gives you flashbacks, and you have to go find people when it's pitch black and there's, like, monsters on the beach. And they're all, like, level 100, and I'm only level 30. I've only been playing for 10 hours. I didn't understand the whole point of that game. Was just, it started off great, and then it slowly deteriorated into the, like, what is going on? Why? Where is it? Like, where's all the story? But you ended up driving down the road, finding a tree, and then you're back on the road again, and you're, like, cooking and battling monsters, and then back in your car again. It's like road travel simulator. This isn't fun.
Yeah.
I did not like 15, and I have played a little bit of 16. I didn't like it either, but I am happy to see that they are bringing Final Fantasy games to Xbox. I'm hoping that there is more to come, and it isn't just 14. I know Phil Spencer is a big fan of Final Fantasy 14. He said it multiple times. He loves Square Enix games. He's a big fan of their studio, but obviously Square Enix went PlayStation exclusive. But he has been trying to bring a Final Fantasy game, and I'm hoping this isn't the last one, the first and last. I'm hoping there is more to it. Really, fingers crossed, because I do think there is a community on Xbox that wants to play Final Fantasy games. And I still don't have a PS5, but I would like to play Final Fantasy. I think I played the all original up to about 10, 11. I finished all of them. I played 15, I didn't like it. But there you go. Quick bit of Xbox news before we jump to a break. Xbox, apparently you guys obviously know, the emulators, the retail mode came back. People were trying to access it again, and then started running emulators. And if you run an emulator on an Xbox console, you are facing a lifetime ban from ever using that Xbox again. Microsoft will brick your console. It's outright banning players who upload emulators to the console. Do not do it. For the love of God. There are people running around telling others to upload this emulator. To see, you can play, you can play PlayStation games on here. Here's the way you do it. And they do it, and then get their account permabanned. On Series S's as well, so you can't even upload a disc. Like, the console just stops working. You've wasted £400. Don't do it. Don't unrun an emulator. A group claimed to have found a way to get emulators running on retail mode. They started a Patreon account asking for $2 for a month of access to their new method. This didn't last long. Microsoft immediately found this emulating PayPal or Patreon account and took it down. It was pulled by YouTuber Hikikiko Mori Media. I want to try that. Regular reports on emulation on consoles. Microsoft has started handing out 15-day suspensions to players who run emulators on console for the initial. If they do it again, no console for you. apparently, started a Discord server called the Emulation Hub, which is dedicated to running emulators on Microsoft consoles. The server has corroborated the claims. Found an announcement posted on Thursday. One staff member from Golden Sky, who specialises in retail access to the RetroArch emulator, told me that retail mode is dead and the Discord server's retail mode will be deleted within a week. Effective immediately, we are halting all retail mode emulation. This is because you will face a permanent 15-day suspension as a warning shot. If you do it again, the console becomes a brick. Just don't do it. Don't run an emulator on an Xbox console. Phil Spencer has expressed his support for emulation in the past, just through legal and authorised routes. Don't jailbreak your console, please. He advocated that software emulation is a solution to game preservation. He said, my hope, I think, in the present, that as a way of now, is an industry we'd work on is legal emulation that allowed modern hardware to run any within reason older executable, allowing someone to play any game. Yeah, but I think in the end, if we said, hey, anybody should be able to buy any game or own any game and continue to play, seems like a great North Star for us as an industry. 100% agree, because game preservation, I think there's like 83% of games released in the last, prior to the last 15 years are now gone. You can't access them. There's no physical copies, which sucks. So everything is now pretty much digital. Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 as well. There has been a lot of fan reaction to this. We've had a lot of news posted in the last week on the website if you want to go check that out. But Modern Warfare 3 will be revealed in Warzone in an event which is the player secure a chemical weapon. When you get to the end of that, there is a video that you can watch the details of Modern Warfare 3. That is an extremely cool way of revealing a new game. I wish more developers thought outside the box that way. The logo was uploaded. It changed the new logo. Sledgehammers teased it, changed flipping the E in their name to a 3. Originally referenced in DMCA. Takedown notices. Apparently, Activision is suing a guy who attempted to sue users who shared gameplay images online earlier this month. They have claimed the developer of this full annual premium Call of Duty will be releasing on consoles and PC in the usual launch window. So no worries there. But yeah, if you want to play Warzone 2.0, if you want to find out the new Modern Warfare 3 game, we'll see the latest trailer because we'll be releasing there first. Anyway, we're going to jump into a break when we come back. Ryan Reynolds is working on a Biker Mice from Mars revival movie. Book it! Love it. Barbie and Barbie Heimer news as well. There has been a few news stories on that. When we come back, I'm going to do it.
When I wake up in the morning, after dreaming of your face, and the sun shone down your light straight to me. It's like you never went away.
Welcome back. This is episode 112 of the Talking Games podcast. Apology if you can hear that in the background. This room is boiling. it is rather hot today. Bam, what are you doing over the summer holidays, Dev?
Just doing stuff with the family. Like I said, after this podcast, I got to go to this birthday party. And then that's it. But my kids go back to school. My kids are going back to school in like 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's not long. We've still got another month and a bit, yeah?
Mm-hmm. But they got out in like June.
Yeah, well, out over here broke up in July. Bit of nonsense, but there you go. I went to my first black cookout the other week. That was an experience.
Hey, how was it?
Yeah, it was my friend's son's birthday party, but he invited like 200 people to a 2-bedroom house. I couldn't even move. There's so many people in it. But it was brilliant, man. I was eating jerk chicken and watermelon, and it was really, really nice actually. The people there were lovely. And they made some absolute killer cakes as well. Oh my god, the food there was it's an enjoyable experience. I'm going to be away next weekend. I'm going to see my sister up north. I haven't seen her in about a year. Hopefully I'll be able to get this podcast up before then. I'm hoping to get it uploaded maybe on Saturday, so I can do an earlier recording. Keep an eye out for that, because I will be going away next Saturday to go visit my sister for a day. But other than that, playing games. Ryan Reynolds, one of the best actors, in my opinion, ever. I absolutely love this guy. He's hilarious. He is working on a revival for Alf and Biker Mice from Mars. He wants to make movies of the shows from the 80s and 90s. I know you haven't seen Biker Mice from Mars, so I would explain it to you. I'll give you the premise before I show you a picture of them.
that basically it's the weirdest show. It was like the answer to Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. It came out around the same time, I think, of like the early 90s Mutant Ninja Turtles movies. You know, the one where they went to like feudal Japan and had the lantern and stuff they were trying to find, and the woman started making out with Raphael, which was just weird. Biker Mice from Mars is like their answer to that. So basically they're mice from Mars who ride bikes. And you could tell like the showrunners had no idea what a biker was, because all of them had like scars. They were like 6 foot tall, all of them. All of them mice, obviously. They all had scars. Some of them had facial injuries. One of them wore an eye patch. They all wore jeans and never jacket. It was just a weird show. What's that?
You said that one of the mice had an eye patch?
Yeah.
A jacket?
Yeah. Weird. It was a weird show. They flew, every episode began with them flying from Mars on motorbikes to Earth to solve a mystery so they could then fly back at the end of the episode. It was weird. It was a weird show. But they're looking to bring that back and turn it into a film. Ryan Reynolds is working on a movie with his production company, Maximum Effort. I really want to see this. If he does this, my God, will that be brilliant. Some people know that I'm a motorcycle enthusiast. I never knew that. It was only natural to jump on board. Biker Mice from Mars, in a cult spin-off. They want to make it into a film. As for Alf, it's an irrational love of Alf growing up. You know, remember what Alf is? It's like this rodent puppet thing.
That big-ass puppet, yeah. That's around the same time when the Muppets and stuff came out.
Yeah. Alf is a weird show. It's massive in Canada. It was like their answer to Barney the Dinosaur. Apparently there's a movie being made of Barney the Dinosaur as well. I saw that yesterday. They're looking to make it turn that into like a horror movie. I think that's amazing.
Man, that's gonna be crazy.
Yeah, I can't wait for that one. So if you guys don't remember the story of the Biker Mice from Mars, the movie will be coming out 27 years after the original series ended. It told the story of Throttle, Modo and Vinny, three biker mice who were the only survivors of a Martian war against foul-smelling invaders known as the Plutarians. They crash-landed in Chicago, which is... Do not bring this show to Chicago, please. There's going to be actual gunshots going off. There will be a war. The trio must defend Earth from a threat as the horrifying aliens look to plunder the planet's natural resources. This sounds to me like the Power Rangers movie. If they do this, it's just ridiculous. But it's Ryan Reynolds, so it will work. It's currently unknown who will voice the original trio, or if it's going to be live action or an anime. I'm hoping it's live action with Ryan Reynolds in the title, in the lead role, because that would be amazing if he dressed as a mouse. I would love that. That would be incredible. Ryan Reynolds with mouse ears. That would automatically get a 10 out of 10 for me if he did that. If live action Ryan Reynolds as a mouse. They obviously recently retained the right to Biker Mice from Mars. They rolled out new toys earlier this year. I do remember having the original toys from the 90s. I had every toy from every show. Power Rangers, Teenage Ninja Turtles, and Biker Mice from Mars. I had all the action figures. Absolutely obsessed with them all. Ryan Reynolds will be serving as executive producer. However, it's not known whether he will be in the role or he'll be acting in the role. The show's been new upcoming pilot will be directed by Brian Vogel Weiss. There's also a number of Cisco Henson, Matt Kravinsky and Michael Goodman will be coming on as producers. Apparently this will be a new animated series. They are launching a Maximum Effort channel. It's not known when the show will debut, though. It's available to watch on Fubo, so you'll be able to watch it on Fubo. We don't get that over here. So fingers crossed they launch it somewhere in the UK. I'm thinking it might be on Amazon Prime, something like that. Alf, meanwhile, aired on NBC up until 1998, started a furry extraterrestrial, but also apparently appearing on the series Maximum Moments. Now, apparently, Ryan Reynolds is looking to do a film on it, though, which is interesting. Mm-hmm. I really want a film. Bring a film, Ryan, please. Barbieheimer, this news story has been going on far too long now. There have been a lot of arguments why people are fully in support of Barbie, but not Little Mermaid, and I think it's fairly obvious. It's obvious why people don't like The Little Mermaid, but apparently the movie, Barbie movie, has now broken the box office records for The Dark Knight and Aquaman. For The Dark Knight, I'm very surprised, but Aquaman, not so much. He has continued to smash box office records, taking $52 million in the opening week in the US and Canada, beating records previously held by The Batman and The Dark Knight. Put by Deadline, Barbie brought in a record-smashing box office haul for the studio, earning $26.1 million and $26 million in the US and Canada on both days, Monday and Tuesday. Ticket sales for crossed over $200 million domestic box office after 5 days. $200 million that movie's made in 5 days. That's insane.
I seen a report saying, I think I seen it yesterday, they saying that that movie is still tracking to hit $500 million.
Yeah. And that's only, that $200 million though, is only US and Canada. That isn't international. And UK, it's like this Barbie mania everywhere. People are actually taking, like,
though,
apparently
right?
They sold like 90,000 tickets this weekend to see both Barbie and Oppenheimer back to back, which is just weird.
Like, you know what it is, because I only saw Oppenheimer opening week. So me and my wife, we went there, but I seen so many people that was my age or older there. And then social media, I feel like TikTok, or I don't know, because I haven't been really looking into the whole Barbie thing. But I feel like something definitely got a lot of these kids out there, because little kids in this new generation, they don't really play with Barbies. You know what I'm saying? Like kids, like kids nowadays, they all got their face stuck into a tablet or a phone screen or something like that. So I think something dealing with social media definitely got a lot of the kids out there. But I was really surprised to see people my age or older out there, you know, dressed in all pink just to see Barbie.
Yeah, that's a weird. It's a weird phenomenon this week. That's how Barbieheimer, the two movies, like, it's become like a meme because they both released on the same day.
Mm-hmm.
They're being compared to each other. They've been like one big. Both movies are basically being pushed together. People want to see both movies back to back, and there's so many memes out there. But
yeah.
I think there's going to be men that want to see it because it's Margot Robbie. There's going to be women who want to see it because of Ryan Gosling. But there's going to be those out there that want to see it because they were fans of Barbie years ago.
My boy went and took he went with his wife and his daughter to see Barbie. And he was saying that that he wouldn't recommend me take my daughter to see it because he was saying that it's a bunch of political BS in there. So I was like, yeah, I'll probably wait for it to come home. And then I'll probably watch it before, if I even decide to even let my daughter watch it, because he told me it's a bunch of, like, little stuff in there that they try to push.
Yeah, there's a lot of feminist plot points in there.
Yeah.
A lot of people have said it's very hyper-feminist. The main movie, the main point of the movie is about femininity and the pressures of perfection. Essentially, the movie's idea. So it's taken, like, the criticism of Barbie as a whole as a brand from the last, 40, 50 years, and put it into a movie. So all the feminist ideals about women's rights and things, it's all there. But as far as, like, it does have its moments. Like, Ryan Gosling playing Ken was, like, the perfect casting, because he just played that role so well. But if people say, oh, like, all men are stupid, because Ryan Gosling plays it as a dumbass.
I heard he carried that whole movie.
He does carry it. But they were saying, oh, the movie just called men stupid the whole time. Like, all the male characters are really dumb.
Yeah.
And that's not the point. You've completely missed the point of the film if you think that. You don't. You haven't watched it. You don't understand it.
Have you watched Oppenheimer yet?
I've been meaning to go see that. The only issue is my wife has no interest in watching it, so...
Yeah, that movie was great, man.
Yeah, I will be going to see it at some point very soon. I'm just trying to find someone to go with, the problem, because my son will have no interest. And my wife definitely...
Why you don't just go solo?
I've never been to a film on my own, ever.
Okay.
The only times I ever go to a cinema, I start to take the family with me, or to go on a date, which was probably about a decade ago.
I go see all
cinema,
all
I go to
movies.
First date idea.
Like all these horror movies,
I always go solo dolo, and usually, like, whenever, like, a new Star Wars movie comes up, because, you know, the, like, those usually come out on Christmas Day or Christmas Eve. Like, I don't know what it is, man. Like, I never grew up, you know, being able to go see movies with my family. Like, I can remember, like, going to, like, a drive-in theater with my family, you know what I'm saying, just because drive-in theaters was, like, mad cheap, but I, you know. But other than that, maybe to see Ghost Rider, I wasn't fortunate enough to be able to afford movie tickets like that. So as soon as I had got my, you know, my own job, I started to make my own money. It's just something therapeutic for me to just, I love going to the theater solo because I don't want to talk to you anyway when I'm in the movies. I don't want to talk to nobody. I like being able to go there, sit down, you know what I'm saying, give me, you know, maybe get me a little drink or something. Sometimes I'm not even getting a drink, but I like this, the whole experience of just going there, sitting down, and I'm just watching the movie. Because, like I said, that was something, to me, I used to think that was, like, something that rich people did or something like that. And just finding out, like, yo, I was broke as a kid, but now I got my own money and I can go see these movies. Hey, man, there's something about it. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I feel awkward going by myself because it's like when you go to a comedy show or to anywhere, really, by yourself. It's kind of got that air of, oh, shit, I'm alone. But
right.
I know that I don't like being on my own. I have to be with somebody else. But just feeling of being there by myself, it feels kind of awkward. But, yeah, I think I might try it. I might go by myself. It'd be the first time ever I've done that, like.
That theater would definitely probably be empty, too, man, because that movie's been out for, what, 2 or 3 weeks? So, like, I don't think you'll be elbow-to-elbow with anybody or have anybody in there looking at you and, oh, this dude all alone, like. I don't know about you, man, but I don't know. I don't really care about what people have to say. You know, if I'm out there all alone, or if I'm ever, like, screenshotting somebody's laughing, like, little do they know, I'm hella happy to, you know what I'm saying, to be sitting there watching that movie solo dolo. Like, I'm not thinking about the people. As long as people ain't inside the theater laughing and acting stupid, because I hate when you got to go to the movie and people is inside the theater just being loud and obnoxious. Like, that's one of my biggest pet peeves. Like, I mean, like, you seen the videos of people who get, like, road raging, they be fighting. That's how I feel in the theater. Like, I be holding myself back. Like, I really want to get up and smack the fire out somebody. Because when you pay money, $20, you know, to go to an IMAX theater to see a movie, I wanna experience that movie and see that movie.
Yeah, I might consider it. But we have got Oppenheimer news, and this kind of made me laugh in the show with Cillian Murphy. Said the sex scenes with Florence Pugh were vital to the plot. Of course they were, Killian. Of course they were. Of course I would say the same if I had my chance to put my willy near anywhere Florence Pugh's private part. I'd be saying it was vital to the series as well. No one likes doing them with Florence Pugh. You're mad. Sometimes you have to get off with it. anyway, he shared his views on the divisive sex scenes in the new biopic Oppenheimer, admitting they were awkward to film but vital to the plot. Yeah. If you don't know anything about Oppenheimer, he's part of the Manhattan Project. He was a theoretical physicist, commonly regarded as one of the fathers of the atom bomb. Florence Pugh stars as Jean Tatlock, who's a fellow physician who was romantically involved in Oppenheimer before and during his marriage to Catherine, his wife. Oppenheimer and Tatlock's tryst inspires many intimate moments between the pair, including the prolonged sex scene, which is the first ever directed by Christopher Nolan, who's never done one like that before. Murphy admitted to no actor likes filming explicit scenes, but he thought they were worthwhile in this case because they were crucial to the story. I think they were vital in this film. I think the relationship he has with Tatlock is one of the most crucial moments of the film. I think they're key to the story, but they're worthwhile. No one likes doing them, the most awkward part of our job, but sometimes you have to get on with it. I personally would have no problem doing that with Florence Pugh. If you need a stunt double, Killian, if you ever have the opportunity again, I'm available. Butt double. I'll gladly take my clothes off in front of Florence Pugh. Frank and Fanboy crush on me. Previously told Insider, the sex scenes are an essential part of the story. Character he was, particularly in his private and romantic relationships. When you look at Oppenheimer's life, you look at his story, the aspect of his sexuality, the way he was with women, charming excluded, is an essential part of his story. I feel it very important to understand the relationship and to really see inside it, understanding what made it tick without being coy or elusive. The R-rated scenes obviously sparked controversy. Necessary. with some countries opting to censor movies, particularly in Christopher Nolan's three-hour epic. Countries, particularly in India and the Middle East, have depicted her wearing a dress. That's not how it works. Oppenheimer is obviously the adaptation of the Pulitzer Prize-winning book American Prometheus. I suggest going to read that book if you want to know, learn more. Don't go straight to the movie. Read the book first and then go see the film. The book is tremendous. I did read that at college. But anyway, that's going to do it. That's been episode 112. Probably a bit of a short one. There wasn't too much news. If you didn't hear stuff you wanted to hear on this podcast, go check out the website, gamesinquirer.com/news. We have a bunch of articles dropping over the next week. I'm currently working on 2 features and 3 reviews, so please not at me while I'm working. Apologies if you hear me coughing during this episode as well. The high pollen count today, and it makes me cough. Can't help it. Anyway, I want to thank you, Ben, for joining me this week. It was we're alone, but
you know the vibes, man. You know, I always enjoy any time it's just me and you. You know, because we can always talk on topics. I feel like any time it's more than just me and you. Sometimes, you know, the podcast might drag on for like three hours or so, and yeah. A lot of talking points. Like I be wanting to say stuff, but then you know we got Chloe, we got Callum, and they always take away my you know some of my talking points. So I always like being able to be here. And you know the show is all about me and Major, Bam and Major. You know what I'm saying? Hey, Bam, I gotta take the name of the podcast, Bam and Major.
We are the foundation.
But not me.
We hold this shit together, man.
but I do look forward to speaking with you next week, man. I know. I'm not gonna be around as much coming up, but again, I'm gonna try to make it whenever I can because I do enjoy these more. What was the word? I was gonna try to make a joke about it being more like just personal.
You got a few timely editions coming.
Yeah. But you know, it's always a good time talking about these games with you, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Anyway, I want to thank you all for joining us. You have helped us massively. We are now Games Inquirer is now 3 years old as of yesterday. And I want to thank each and every one of you because we have now hit 75,000 monthly users. That is a massive deal for us. I never thought we'd get to that number. For the first year and a bit, we were circling maybe 2,000-3,000 users. And I thought that was as far as we were going to go. And I checked the numbers yesterday and I was just blown away.
And that's a big number, man.
From the bottom of my heart.
Congratulations, man. That's a big milestone, man.
It is. And I'm very, very thankful to each and every one of you who have clicked on the website, who read our reviews, who supported us over the years, who follow us on the socials and follow us on Twitter, even though Twitter's pretty much dead.
Mm.
But it's been a ride, and we're going to keep going strong, and hopefully in the next couple of years you'll see bigger and better things from us. But anyway, I want to thank you all. Thank you for joining us. This has been episode 112. I've been Major, and I'll catch you next week for episode 113. The podcast is already reaching, we've already gone past 100 episodes.
Crazy.
Anyway, crazy. Anyway, catch you guys later. Don't forget to check out the website, follow us on all socials, and I'll see you next week, same time, same place. Take care, guys. Love you. Peace.
Bye.